Blog Talk Radio.
Birthdays on this day is in 1897, a disgraced prime minister was born, Anthony Eden, who was involved in the French, Israeli, and British attempt to dislodge Abdelkader Nasser, the president and dictator of Egypt. They tried to get the United States involved, and Eisenhower said no. The guy who was the patriarch of the Rockefeller family, David Rockefeller, was born in 1915. President George Herbert Walker Bush, born in 1924. And Anne Frank, who was the little Jewish girl who survived most of the Nazi occupation of Holland until she was betrayed. Her whole family was betrayed. Her father, they were sent to the concentration camp, Auschwitz. Her father survived. She was killed in the ovens, but she left behind a diary, which became a movie, The Diary of Anne Franks. And in 1932, Jim Nabors was born. Among the deaths today, Medgar Evers, civil rights leader, Milburn Stone, who played Doc in Gunsmoke, and Norma Shearer, great actress, and one of the worst people in American history, Saul Alinsky. We're going to play his little-known disclosures about his tactics that he used in organizing so-called communities. Here goes.
You see, you've got to be an outside agitator to begin with, because agitators very rarely come up from the inside. Because if you come up from the inside, one or two things happen. So you either get knocked off, you get co-opted. That's the reason all agitators are outside agitators. And you see, when you're out to really get change, every community, every place is organized. When sociologists talk about social disorganization or that communities are disorganized, that's what we're talking about. You can go into the creditiest community. It's got a policy racket going. It's got a syndicate up going. It's got a political organization that is crooked as hell. And they're being exploited if it's a company town, but it's organized, you know? It's a contradiction in terms to say that there's such a thing as a disorganized community. So that the job of an agitator is first, it's really not organizing a movement, he's reorganizing it. First he's got to change the whole pattern, he's got to disorganize it, that's why he's an agitator. And after he disorganizes it, then he reorganizes it.
So,
well, the community is organized on a certain pattern of values. You can call it an exploitation of the many by the few over there. out whatever you want to. The organizer brings in another set of values. Now, to say that an organizer comes in who is just in there as sort of a blotter, that he's going in for just participatory democracy. He doesn't have any ideas. He's just going to be a servant to the people, of the masses, so to speak. He will just reflect what they want. It's just a lot of romantic crap. If an organizer doesn't have ideas as to how he wants to change that thing, and more important, if he doesn't have the sophistication and the experience to know how to get it done, see, there's a big difference between the what's that you want to get in life and the how you go about getting it. If you don't know the how about getting it, see, you're never going to get the what's. I always used to say that if any smart organizer had come up before the Oracle at Delphi, and the Oracle always sounded off with her usual proverbial business of know thyself, you know. A smart organizer would look at her and say, okay, Oracle, now how the hell do I go about doing it? Don't tell me what I have to get. Tell me how to get it, because unless I know the how, the what is just rhetoric, you know. I imagine the Oracle would have had a fit, you know. Would have said one question aloud only to a customer or something, yeah. Get thee going.
Yeah.
The organizer's got to have ideas. If he doesn't have ideas, when he comes in there, if he doesn't know how and what to do, the only thing that his presence does is where the population was 100, was say 100,000 before he walked in, it now becomes 100,001. That's all. It doesn't make any difference there. He can only come in on the basis really of an invitation from the community. I go to Houston, I do nothing but to lecture at the University of Houston. I get at the airport, the whole clan is out there in full regalia. The mayor is all over the front page of the newspaper. He's going to investigate the university for inviting this radical down to speak to the university. The John Birch Society's got a mass picket line out there. The next morning, there's a big delegation of blacks inviting me to come in because they've never seen me. Everybody they hate is so uptight. But now, if you haven't got that kind of rep, you got to go about working your way in. And one of the basic things here is whether you really, I should pull a con game or snow job. If you don't like people, they goddamn well soon know it. You know, you can pull a fast job if you're selling a vacuum cleaner or something. You're only going to be with the guy for an hour, selling him a house or a car. But when you're selling people and working with them, you're working with them for hours, for days, for weeks, for months. Sooner or later, they sense it, you know. So, as long as you respect the dignity of people, then they'll respond to you. Now, that sounds like an old cliche, but as long as I respect you, for example, I can't come to you with this thing done, because what I'm really saying to you is, look, you dumb son of a bitch, you've been sitting around here for years, and I got to come along and tell you now, this is the way you get it done. So naturally, you're going to resent it. You see, freedom of choice, and freedom is part of dignity, is really the right to make the choice. I go in our neighborhood. I run into you. Yes, on welfare, you know, you're standing on the corner. So we get into a conversation. So I say, where do you live? Over there. Well, where do you expect me to live? I'm on relief. Well, what do you want me to live in, a 14-karat gold palace, you know? No, but Jesus, you pay anything to live there? Oh, come on. Trying to be funny? Well, no, I don't want to be funny about Jesus. The place looks like it's loaded with rats and cockroaches, everything. You damn well know what it is. What would happen if they didn't pay your rent? What would happen? They throw me out of my kids and everybody else. What do you mean? Yeah. What would happen if nobody paid their rent over there? Why, they... Well, Jesus, they'd have a little trouble throwing us all out, wouldn't they?
You been in?
Just 1964. Until Watts blew the next year, it was the worst riot in the country. The National Guard was down there. A helicopter crashed. Lives were lost and so on. So the Rochester Area Council of Churches, these are all the white churches, including some of the blacks, respectable black churches. My answer to them was, oh, now, wait, cool it. You know, we're not one of these colonial operations like the Christian churches. You send your missionaries all over the country, all over the world, whether anybody asks for them or not. You haven't got business speaking for the black ghetto. We'll come in and organize, but we'll organize your white communities. But until the black ghetto asks us to come in, we're not coming in. So then the job starts very quickly. The papers went into an uproar. The front page editorials and stuff in which they were saying that Zelensky comes in at the end of peace and love. They had a riot the year before between ourselves and our black fellow Americans. Radio, every hour and the hour, they come up with these editorials. I mean every hour and the hour. So the blacks are reading all this stuff. And on top of that, they had a statement. Malcolm X had been in Rochester just 3 weeks before all this began. It was actually just about 6 weeks before he got it. And he was asked a question by the leader of his forces in Rochester, what about Zelensky? And his answer was, use him, squeeze him dry, get him in here, learn everything you can, and then go on your own, yourself on it. So between Malcolm's statement and the white establishment just raising hell about me, next thing I knew, we had an invitation from every black church in the ghetto, every civil rights group, every street gang, and more than 13,000 individual signatures on petitions from a total population of 35,000. So if you took the kids out of the scene, you could say that every black in Rochester signed a petition inviting us in there. Now that's what I mean by an invitation.
That was Saul Alinsky. This is an excerpt from our archives. And, of course, he died, guess where? Here in California, in one of the richest little bedroom towns, Carmel. How he could afford to be in Carmel is a big mystery, but he was here in San Francisco at 82 Second Street, and we'll get into that another day because that's the source of a lot of this bogus, these bogus nonprofit, quote, community organizations. Among the events today, and a lot of people don't know this, in 1775 there was the first battle of the American Revolution, and of course, the 13 colonies called themselves United. It didn't later. They didn't become. They adopted the name United States. In 1787, it was decided by Congress that all U.S. senator applicants had to be at least 30 years old. In 1792, Captain George Vancouver, working for the British, discovered what is now Vancouver, Washington, and Vancouver, British Columbia. In 1812, and of course this is the famous 1812 Overture, of course, Napoleon invaded Russia. And that is an accurate piece of music, although I don't know why they play it on the 4th of July. It has nothing to do with our American Revolution. In 1838, the territory of Iowa was set up. In 1867, Austria united or annexed Hungary, and so it became the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which lasted until 1918 when the Austria and Germany lost World War One. In 1898, the Philippine independence movement started to get rid of the Spanish, and of course that led to the Spanish-American War and how the United States acquired, quote, as William McKinley referred to him, our little brown brothers. In 1917, the Secret Service extended protection to the president's family. In 1920, getting back to Chicago, saw people like Saul Alinsky, the Farmer Labor Party, started. I don't know what happened to him. And of course, Boeing's been in the news lately with its Dreamliner and the problems with its lithium electrical system. Well, they had a big empire. Boeing had planes and airlines and everything. So this was broken up and became the Boeing Aircraft Company, which produced the B-29, the B-17s, and of course these big jets. And of course United Airlines, and then the other part of Boeing became United Airlines. And of course 1964, this is relevant. Nelson Mandela, who has a law degree, by the way, a lot of people don't know that, he was sentenced to life imprisonment on Robben Island off of the coast of South Africa, and he survived that. Now he's in the hospital fighting for his life. And then of course in 1967 there was the Six-Day War where the Israelis defeated the combined powers of Egypt, Syria, and Iran. And, of course, I can remember all the Chicagoans and Illinoisans of Jewish heritage were going to the Israeli consulate trying to get visas to go over and fight for Israel. By the time they applied for their visas, the war was over and Israel was victorious. And also the Supreme Court of the United States banned illegal enforcement of the ban on interracial marriages. So now they've got another problem coming up. We're going to continue with our, since we're running late, we're going to continue. Queen Sylvia was part of an international conference on sex trafficking, and here is audio excerpt from our archives.
Mutual dependence between us, in order to efficiently fight and prevent trafficking in human beings, we have to work together and we need to step up our efforts. Trafficking of human beings is a part of organized crime today. It's a part of the change we see through globalization. It's the bad side of it. And we have to find new ways to...
I'm happy that there are so many people who are working with this question. There are so many NGOs, and that we are more and more talking about it. For 15 years, nobody dared to pick up that issue because it was a taboo.
We do have reports too that some traffickers think that Sweden is not a good place to do business in, so they avoid Sweden or use it only as a transit country. And that might be so due to the fact that we have that law.
Country of the world is affected by this modern day slavery, human trafficking. You are either a destination country in which you're receiving problems, or you are a transit country or source country. And that's why we have to come together and in partnership and build that partnership that will work to ensure that we address the root causes of trafficking.
It is important that we recognize that the demand for sex with minors is a very strong driving force behind this global problem, and therefore needs to be addressed urgently. And to deny, to turn a blind eye, or to passively observe is a contribution to the continuous contemporary slave trade that is manifested by trafficking of human beings.
Now, we'll be back Friday with some more on this trafficking of human beings. It's coming out now that some of these missing children, both boys and girls and young males, young women, may have been abducted and brought overseas either to Thailand or to the Middle East as sex objects. I remember that Senator Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas did have a conference on this, and she focused on women. But you didn't hear anything more after that. And, of course, the major papers in California, like the San Francisco Chronicle, didn't carry anything on the Queen of Sweden's international conference on sexual exploitation. And, it seems that this is a subject that they're afraid to publicize, and maybe more reasons behind it than they want to admit to. Anyway, we're going to end. We're running late because of a problem with the browser. So we're going to end tonight with our usual politics and poker. We will be back Friday at 4 p.m. And also go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site on this Sean City Kid CD. He's a mixed European and Asian heritage. And it may be a possibility that he was abducted. He was brain damaged, and he was last seen getting into a car, and nobody's heard anything since. So we hope that he wasn't abducted. We hope that he's returned safely to his family, but we don't know because there's a growing number of these youths who disappear, and their posters are all over San Francisco and other areas. So here's Politics and Poker and our theme song, and good night.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Off the five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Fine, fine.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big.
big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
I suppose we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, how to bet,
where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrade.
We'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Good night.